morning, Eddie Kaufholz. Happy Thursday, or whatever day it is.
Thursday, March 94th. 94 years into it.
They're just, I said to a friend yesterday on the phone, which I have an unbelievable phone story for you. I said to a friend yesterday on the phone, the weekends feel different, but Monday through Friday feel like Groundhog Day. You're like, I don't know. Oh, I know I'm doing the same thing I did yesterday, and I have to do it again tomorrow, and then it's my Sabbath, and then it's Sunday. I do know that, but that's as much as I know.
Right, because they're so exactly the same. Like, everything. I'm wearing
exactly the same.
I'm wearing generally the same thing, hitting record, talking to you, then we stop, and the girls are outside. Hello, good morning. Off. Like, it's...
They haven't run by the window in a few days. They're over it.
Well, we've all been taking advantage of the fact that we could just sleep in. And so, hold on. Why are we getting up at 7? Why not? We can just do an extra 45 minutes on the back end of the school day. And so we've been sleeping in. So Groundhog Day. And you were on the phone last night. It does feel like that,
Eddie,
doesn't it?
You aren't even ready for what happened to me yesterday.
I am just picking up my cup of coffee.
Okay.
And sitting back in the chair.
It won't be long. It won't be long.
Okay.
I finished my work day, did the mini BFF book club, went and worked out in my neighborhood, came back and did a little workout in my house. And then it was time to FaceTime with my friend Cheryl for her birthday.
Cheryl. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
And I have an iPhone where I can go, hey, Siri. And she's about to say, she thinks I'm talking to her right now. Siri does. I can say her name, and then I can say, FaceTime Cheryl. And then it rings.
Right, no problem. Uh-oh. What could possibly go wrong? So,
what could go wrong? That's very normal. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl is a very unique name. So.
Yeah. You're not saying, like, call Matt. There's probably 20 of them in there.
That's right. And for full disclosure, I don't need a full disclosure. We'll just tell the story.
Well, that made it more interesting is that there was something to full disclose that you didn't disclose. So we can just roll with it there. So
we'll
fine,
just roll with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say her name, hey, Siri, FaceTime Cheryl. Yeah. And I'm across the room because that's modern technology. And Siri says back to me, FaceTiming Daryl Johnson.
Daryl.
I have not talked to this man in years.
Yeah.
We would never FaceTime. We were like a romantic thing that did not work. And I am FaceTiming him from across the room. Eddie?
Did he pick
up? No. I ran over there so fast and hit.
Oh.
And hit. Oh. I mean, and I just stood there.
A thousand miles
and I was like,
an hour, you made it to
what's
that phone.
What is happening? What do I, what's the next move, Eddie? What's the next move?
So grateful that that Siri says, you know, FaceTiming or calling Daryl, whatever, that you have that moment of realization, like you have a split second by which to do probably the best part of your workout, which was a full on, unbelievable in my socks sprint across the house.
Yes.
And so you never called them.
No. And for full disclosure, I will full disclosure that some details have been changed for the safety of everyone.
Oh, but like every name. I see.
The whole story is 100% true.
Okay. You'll text me all the real names at some point, right? So I can know. So, because I'm like, Daryl Johnson, you really just blew this guy up on a podcast? Oh,
no,
I see.
Oh, no.
That's amazing.
Eddie, I still am asking you an actual question. What do I do? Because at this point, it's happened. It's just happened. I'm throwing my phone in the ocean. I'm starting a new life.
But it never connected with him, but on his phone, it certainly says missed FaceTime call from Franny Q Pounds. Since we're not using real names, right?
Right.
I don't know why it didn't just turn into G. Just
I don't
G
know.
Is funnier.
It's fine. It's fine.
The question is, it depends on what kind of narrative you want. Do we want rom-com narrative where this is actually like the cute way you guys reconnect, or would that actually be a bad scenario and we just need this to go away and we need to figure out a plan B if he texts you and goes like, hey, did I miss a FaceTime call from you?
The thing that we don't really have to solve this. The thing that that I want us, I had to tell you because I think it's the worst thing that could happen to a person. I mean, as soon as I hang up and I called Cheryl.
She said mid-pandemic. I love it. Right. Yes, it's the worst thing that could happen.
Great point. Great point. In my current trapped life, when the world is upside down,
I do not know
what day of the week it is, this is as emotionally taxing a thing could happen to a person. Oh,
no, I get it. It's like that moment when you've crossed over from having to pee to like, you know, you're going to pee your pants now. That feeling of terror is like, it was like, I would rather be chased by a person with a knife than feel what I'm feeling right now. I'm about to pee myself in a car.
I mean, it was Cheryl's birthday and we still spent the first 6 minutes, hitting my head on the table going, what are the chances that would happen to me, Cheryl? I said your name clearly. I'm fine that, because the details need to be changed, I can't tell you why it's totally fine and it's totally fine and great and whatever that it happened.
Yeah.
But the story itself is horrifying. It's just horrifying.
The story is horrifying. We all empathize. And I will also, I rarely break the fourth wall here, but speaking on behalf of the listeners, one of the best parts of this story was hearing you tiptoe around every single detail of it and realizing from the very beginning of it, what is happening? She is like talking all like choppy and pausey and what's
that? I just want to tell you the story and it's just not fair to not do it. And I can change. I change enough that it's fine with everyone.
Yeah.
And, but it's 100% the story is 100% true.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well,
I mean, my life, Eddie, my life. Like, how does that happen?
Well, I mean, Siri is kind of awful. She does miss stuff all the time. I know. Mm-hmm. I can't use it anymore.
I just won't use her across the room anymore, for sure.
I think that's the problem. I think that the further away you get, probably there's somebody that actually knows the answer to this, but the less accurate it gets. And I think that if you have got someone like Daryl, who does rhyme with someone like Cheryl, maybe we don't play it so fast and loose with house
echoes. It would have never crossed my mind. Because
Siri, I
even said her last name. No, I didn't say her last name. And then Siri said his last name. And I was like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say that. Because the next step, Siri should have said, do you mean Cheryl?
Yeah.
And I'd have been like, no. Or she should have said, do you mean Daryl? And I'd have been like, no. Oh my gosh, I don't mean Daryl. This is not how I want to FaceTime Daryl. And that's not what Siri said. Siri didn't check in with me. She usually checks in with me. If I'm trying to FaceTime Eddie and Brianne, Siri goes, did you mean FaceTime Eddie and Brianne? Yeah, Siri, of course I did. I said that. The one time I wish she'd have double checked with me, she just moved right on ahead.
Maybe she was just excited that she too was the center of the beginning of a rom-com. Siri's been like, I've been waiting for this. Here, I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to ask if this is a solution. What if you went through the names of everybody, man or woman, it's not just old beaus, but people who you would, like maybe it's like a really important business contact or someone in your phone that's very fancy. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to like accidentally message Beth Moore, although she would probably be totally great with it. But what I'm saying? Just people that you're like, oh, this would be embarrassing. And just put an X in front of their first name. So Siri thinks it's like.
Now, this is an interesting idea.
She thinks the name is X Daryl, and it could never.
There's no way. Right. Suppose a person did have X's in their phone, like ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, ex-partners, ex-friends.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of it just as the letter X because it's just almost impossible to say.
Yes. But you're right. But I'm thinking out loud here. The option is, do you delete their phone number forever? You break up in 2012. Do you delete their phone number forever? Or are you? Do you put an X in front of it so that there is no way you ever see them or call them? But if they ever call you, it's not a number you don't know and you answer it.
Yeah. See, that's my reason for not deleting it. Because what I don't want you to see is like, huh, New York number. I wonder that, you know, and pick it up. And
it's Daryl.
It's Daryl. And he's like wondering if you're up. if you want to FaceTime or something, you know.
It's Daryl in 6 weeks calling me in the middle of the night. Yeah. Wondering if I've, wondering why I FaceTimed him.
You want to know if Daryl's creeping. So, because that's classic Daryl. So what, to me,
there's a lot of our single friends listening. What's your advice as a counselor, as a pastor, as a father to daughters, as a person who dated and then got married?
Oh boy.
What do you do with phone numbers in your phone of people that you are no longer dating?
Yeah. I mean, I don't actually know, and so I am not speaking from my typical ivory tower, but I would say for this moment, typically, if it doesn't do anything to your soul, if it doesn't make you flutter every time you scroll past it, if it's just data, it's all just data on a phone. I mean, I have I have my guy that used to do our pool two houses ago in there. Why? Who knows? Because
stop
who has
bragging
time?
About having a pool.
Oh yes. Well, it's Florida. Sorry. It's not a brag in Florida. It's like an assumption. But it's just like, you know, who cares? Who's going to go through and do all that? Mm-hmm. But I do feel like though, if there is like one of those, if there's a check, you know, that your soul tells you everything. If there's a little check in there where it's a little exciting to have that, or boy, it makes me feel something when I see that. Then it's not just a data point in a phone with a million other phone numbers and random emails and work people that you don't talk to anymore from two jobs ago. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. And to me, I'm like, I'll get rid of the thing. So for me, it's like Daryl seems like a punchline to a story that you're telling on a podcast. But if it's like an actual thing, like, oh my, and that thing isn't healthy for you, and you've determined that in better moments that it's not healthy, well, then I try to get rid of all that.
But I delete it altogether.
I delete, yeah, because if you just, temptation is hard. I mean, right. And why mess with it? Just why, you know, but I think it's different for people get into that Billy Graham rule and dog on it as, you know, well, have we ever talked about this, the Billy Graham thing?
No.
We don't really probably
but we
want
can, if you want to.
Why did I walk not into being it? I had a choice to just talk about whatever else I wanted, and that's what I walked into.
Do you want to go back and be the person you wish you were?
Kinda, but okay. The person. Anyway,
but you are this. Talking about it is the person you wish
I know,
you
that
are.
That is who I am. I don't always know how to filter that through people listening. Because for a second I was like, I forgot. I thought it was just us chatting. And then I remember
that's how I feel about changing names is I always feel like it's not like right. The person I wish I was, I'd tell the exact whole story. But the person I have to be is changing the names and some details so that everyone feels safe in my life.
Yeah. I actually don't want to get into the whole Billy Graham rule because I think it just lights people up. And this is supposed to be a half hour of our morning altogether where we're... Getting our life going. We're thinking a little bit about where we're at with the pandemic and we're laughing a bit and talking about heroes. But I will just say, I take very seriously in my own life the avoidance of temptation. And I always trust the instincts that I had when my head was clear versus when my head is not clear. So to me, I do not make good choices when I'm at all emotionally invested in a thing.
Yeah.
So like I was upset about something this morning before we started the show, and it's just a thing with it was directed at me,
and everyone can know that we've worked it out.
No. It has nothing to do with relationships. It has to do with just a purely business thing. It's not even IJM. It's just a business thing in my life. And it's just a situation I don't love, and I was working through it. And I knew I had to show a reply text to Brian before I sent it. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't operate well without a clear head. So to me, if the Daryl in your phone, when you have a nice clear head and everything's happy, if that's like I don't like seeing that. That doesn't make me feel good. Or that makes me want to text a person I've told myself before I shouldn't text. I'm like, don't overthink it. Just avoid avoid the difficulty. Just get rid of it. But then if it's just nothing but a joke, well, who cares? Just leave it in there. So, you know, if Daryl calls and he's being classic Daryl, you're not surprised by the phone number.
I mean, there will just come a time when we are all allowed to be in the same places again. When we were,
yeah.
When we are all back at speaking events, and I will be able to tell this story from a stage. This is a great stage story with a little, though this stage that I'm telling it on currently is a stage, but
right, but it's a different
mainly
thing.
Just me telling you, like, Eddie, you have walked so many of these men stories with me in the last, I don't know, 6 years that you can't imagine that I FaceTimed Daryl.
Of all the people.
I didn't. Siri did. To be fair, Siri did.
No, but there's 5 bazillion contacts in there.
Uh-huh.
And almost any of them would have been better.
I mean, it just is.
Do we not agree with that?
Just purely out of, just purely out of if I'm going to FaceTime Daryl, I want to do it on my own. I want to do it on my own. I want to do it because I want to do it, not because Siri wants to do it.
God, I can hear you talk about this all day.
The I level can't. Of we have to move on.
The level of discomfort
I need
nuts.
You to know I already want to delete the whole show and start over. But we're just going with it. We're 16 minutes in. I think it is a very funny story.
Real
talk. Can we talk about something else?
Totally. I have something to talk about. But real talk, show talk that we don't even have to edit out. People can just hear us talking. I do think it's like fine. I don't think there's been anything identifying or weird. So I feel like it's okay. But here's what I want to talk. I would like to talk to you about a hypothetical. And I would like to lay
this. Oh, that's what I just did. Let's pretend like I just did that.
Mine has nothing to do with my torrid love life.
Okay.
And
oh my gosh. Continue kidding. On.
You don't have
to. Go for it.
Let's say hypothetically, a friend who you're friends with gets invited to go over to a buddy's house, a guy's house. And the plan is this.
A female friend of mine is invited to a guy's house or a male friend of mine is invited?
Let's not make it male-female, but make it all just easy.
Two buddies. Just two buddies.
Let's do two guys, okay?
Two guys. Got it.
And here's the plan. He gets his own camp chair, puts it in the car, and he's also to bring his own camp chair and anything he wants to drink. So you bring your own soda, you bring your own whatever you want to drink, get your own glass of wine.
Yeah, because we're working in the days of a pandemic where you need to show up with all your own things.
Fully. And the plan is get in your car, drive to the other friend's yard. There's other friends there, 4 to be precise. There's 4 in all. Everybody is sitting at least 7 feet apart from each other. They chat for an hour. They pick up their chairs, get back in their car, drive home. No one goes inside of a house. No one uses a bathroom. If you have to potty, there's woods. But there's nobody going to the bathroom. There's nobody shaking hands. Do you feel okay about that?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's social distancing at its finest.
Great. That's what I did last night. And it was incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's great, right?
Annie, it was...
Tell me what felt so great about it.
First of all, I mean, we just have been, like the whole country, we've been taking the social distancing very seriously. And so for 3 weeks, I have not seen anything except for our grocery store that is like... a 2-minute bike ride away and our property. And so it was nice just to be in a car and be out a little bit. The second thing is it was nice to chat with, just to hear my friends' voices and just chat with them because we're not really good phone friends. And so I actually have not talked to them in a couple of weeks. The third thing is they all have interesting jobs that they're very, like one is in healthcare. And so we were hearing all about that. One is in local government. And so we're hearing all about that. And the third one, who was by far the most interesting, is a high school teacher. And the hilarity, and normally there's not a lot that's funny in this situation.
Yeah.
But the hilarity of him having to wrangle hundreds of high schoolers on Zoom is unreal. Like, it is the funniest thing because I have long held that the funniest that a person ever is, or at least the funniest I feel like I've ever been in my whole life is 10th grade.
Because, oh, really? You think you were the funniest at 10th grade?
Oh, yes. Because I don't think I was as smart. Maybe I wasn't as quick, but I was completely uninhibited. There was no filter and none of us had a filter. The filter was just make your friends laugh and they made you laugh.
Sure.
And it was awful stuff that I would look back and go like, ooh, you shouldn't have made that joke. But when you genuinely don't have that filter on and you don't know better, you're as funny as you can be. And I mean, I'm dying. And so he's telling stories of the amount of work that he's had to do as a Zoom administrator to keep kids from doing the most vile stuff anonymously. And it's not like it is gross vile,
like
but
the kids are just misbehaving like 10th graders misbehave. Just being dumb.
Right. Like if he does not make it so that they can't change their own names.
Oh, sure.
It's and he's telling me names and
God
I can't repeat one of them to you.
Sure.
But it's the funniest. I mean, I was sitting there just like snotty crying.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
It's the funniest thing how little, and these are good kids. These are kids in an IB class. They just don't have it in them. When they realize the field is possible to be changed, they're gonna change that name. And then, I mean, so he's just going through scenario and scenario how he's had to lock down Zoom. And I am telling you, the teachers are a special kind of hero, but also teachers figuring out Zoom with high schoolers are another level of hero because high schoolers are just so smart. Like my kids have no idea how to get into, they don't really understand internet. And so it's all just like, sure, I'll click this button and it starts to teach me the math. They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But the high schoolers do. And it was my favorite thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's very, and just seeing people in person is amazing.
Right. Right.
So to hear the story over FaceTime, you'd have laughed.
Yeah.
To see the full expression and to be in someone else's presence.
Yeah.
Is next level.
Yeah. And it was just lovely. And it was different. Yeah. And also it was at the end of the night. It was like nice to come home. It was, here's my friends. It was like, hey, there's Bree. It's nice. Bree and I have long had like one of a very important rhythm of our marriage has been us forcing to miss the other person. Uh-huh. And with IJM, it's a little easier because I travel more, but that's actually been really good for us. We have pretty frequent, you know, in the old world, times apart, go with our own friends, do our own thing.
BC, before Corona.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was lovely and it was great. And I'm glad the hypothetical worked out because I was driving back and I was like, should I have done this? Is this a bad example?
I've done that twice where we go and sit in a yard and eat we bring our own dinner. We bring our own food. Same thing. Bring our own chairs and sit in someone else's yard. And every time we sit 6 feet apart and every time we talk and I don't touch, like I had to walk through someone's gate. Three nights ago, and I didn't even touch their gate knob. They did that.
Yep. Yeah. And he was, and I will say, if you're a host on one of these parties, I would be as thoughtful as my friend John. He, like, gate was open, chairs were out. He had Lysoled all the chairs because he just, you don't know everybody.
Can I bring him as the hero today?
Maybe.
That's a hero move.
John would, well, first of all, John will never listen to this because he will never listen to podcasts. And if he did, he would never admit it to me and would just goof on me. He's the right kind of friend if you're on a podcast and think you're funny.
Because he,
you know, he is what I would assume is like your Daryl.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Still, yeah, I'm very minimally concerned about Daryl.
Your level of discomfort is like candy to my soul.
I know. That's why I had to do it. I sacrificed for you. I knew I had to tell you I wanted to tell you right when we jumped on, but I didn't.
Oh, man. To see people uncomfortable makes me so happy. Yeah. Thank you for that gift this morning.
One thing we're under, I wrote this on my list yesterday.
Yeah.
One thing we are under seeing people take advantage of is food trucks. Is that surprising to you? I mean, because we're ordering from restaurants and picking them up, but I feel like there should be more food trucking than there is.
I feel like there's still an operation, but it would seem as though this is the golden age of food trucks.
You would think so, but I feel like I don't hear people talking about ordering from them. I don't hear or see on the internet food truck owners reminding us where they are. I wonder if there's some reason they can't operate?
No, well, maybe this is state by state. Like, I know they're operating in Gainesville, but I would feel as though they would be like, I realize I say like a lot. It's kind of a tick. I'd like to stop saying that. I've listened back to the show yesterday. I say it all the time. And I know what I'm doing. I'm giving my brain a stutter step to come up with the thought, but still keep talking, and all I need is just that little click. But it's a way of replacing but I need to stop saying that.
On the top of my preaching notes on every single, on every single talk, it says, do not say right?
Right. I say slow down.
I do that a lot when I'm teaching.
Yeah. You say write. I say tell myself to slow down because mm-hmm. I will come mm-hmm. out of the gates and here's half my sermon in the first 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I do for 30 minutes?
Right. Right. Precisely. That's it.
Yeah. I do feel that food trucks, it is interesting. I don't know what the reason is. I feel as though food trucks would be in every parking lot of every major grocery store mm-hmm. and completely just blown out because mm-hmm. they define social distancing. I mean, you're usually not anywhere close to a person, and people are really good about standing in lines in a social distancing line and staying 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. My friend John was also telling me a story last night. They were actually at, there's a local donut food truck that's really popular here, and everybody's doing such a good job. Really, people are working hard, staying 6 feet apart, and these three college students who, by the way, many college students are getting this because they feel as though they're invincible. Some of them are taking it seriously. Some of them are not. And I'm in a college town and these three college students just like saunter up and is like, why is everybody in this weird line? And you could just tell like, but you can just tell that there's a chance they have no idea what's going on.
Yes,
and they're just thinking that school's got canceled for some reason and whatever, I would like to go get a donut and we're just living our best life.
Right. And it is, we can't talk about college kids, but we can talk about, because I love them.
I do
too. We can talk about.
It's the second funniest time in your life.
Yeah, they're great. I love living in a town full of college students. It is one of my favorite parts of my life. I would be sad not to live in a college town.
I do too. It's vibrant and fun, and both Orlando and Gainesville have been great college towns. I love
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And always good food. There's always good food around.
I don't think I realized that Orlando is a college town. Sorry.
Well, it's a big town, but it also has a huge college in it. And so if you live closer to University of Central Florida.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's not a like big football. They think they're a big football school.
They were a big football school, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're a Georgia fan, I'm a Gator fan. I think we know football school. We don't even like each other. We can both agree. UCF is not a football school.
Sure.
And I want you all to get on Twitter and blast me today about that. And it feeds my soul. Give it to me. I love it. I love disliking UCF publicly. Honestly, great school. Would be very proud if my children went there, et cetera, et cetera. But come on.
Yeah, say all that stuff now.
Yeah, 70,000 students there, though. It's huge.
The donut truck in your town. Do you love it? I love a donut truck.
I do. I have very strong opinions about these donuts. So what's the go-to donut for you? Like when you go, like, I'm not going to stop this. I'm going to crack this code. I've got to stop this.
Okay.
What's your favorite? If you go to a new donut place, what's the first donut that helps you set a baseline for the quality? So if I go to mm-hmm. a Thai place, I'm going to chicken param, Thai spicy. That's what mm-hmm. I'm going to order. I've had that at every Thai restaurant. Then I'll explore the menu in subsequent visits. But that's what I have to judge. What's your mm-hmm. baseline donut? And then I'm going to blow your mind with mine, please.
Okay. Oh, wow. My very favorite is maple glazed. But what I start with is a chocolate glazed. But my favorite is maple glazed.
Chocolate glazed. Maple glazed.
Yeah. I think chocolate glazed is a great baseline. I think the one I like treasure is an apple fritter. But they're so big, I'm not going to order one and it be bad and have a bad experience. So I'm going to lean toward a chocolate glaze and a maple glaze and as my baselines.
Why are apple fritters so huge? Because they are clearly one of the best donuts ever made. But that's always the thing. I go to Donut King in Orlando and I'm trying to get one donut and an apple fritter is 11 donuts.
It's 11 donuts.
You tell yourself,
that's exactly right.
I'm going to cut this up and eat it like a cake. But yes. I'm not. I'm going to eat it like a whole thing. I'm going to eat it.
Yes.
And I won't not. So why are apple fritters so big?
They're as big as your hand. I mean, they are literally the size of your hand, my hand. And I love them. There's two in town that rival each other and are pretty rivally. There's Fox's Donut Den. And then there's...
In there. Love it.
Yes. Their apple fritters are unbelievable.
Ooh.
And then there's Dixon Donuts that's kind of out in the burbs a little bit, and they have a stamp they put on their boxes, home of the best apple fritters.
Oh, Billy, settle down.
I know.
But good for them.
what's your baseline? What do you test with?
Sour cream donut.
Ew, really? What if they don't have that? Gosh, I haven't had one of those in so long.
Then it is definitely out of the running of a donut place I like.
Ah, so if they don't have a sour cream, if they don't have the one cakey donut for you to partake.
Sour cream donut. And if people have never had a sour cream donut, it is deceptive. There's nothing savory about it. It is a sweet glaze over top of the whole thing that does have its base in sour cream, but the name sour cream deceives it.
You don't have to worry. A lot of people know that sour cream is used in sweet things.
Does Daryl?
I think they do. Do they not? I just want to relieve you of the fear.
I just asked you if Daryl knows, and I just wanted to, and then you didn't hear me, and then it got quiet, and now I'm sweating.
But I don't know if he knows.
What's Daryl's favorite donut?
I don't know. I can't know. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know his favorite donut. I just Googled sour cream donuts just because I hadn't seen them in so long. How do they make those? How do sour cream donuts always have that different shape? That little moat?
That lip, that moat.
How do they do that?
I don't know. But a sour cream donut, to me, for my palate, there could be nothing better.
Yeah, they are delicious. I'm glad to see their picture again.
Spalding Donuts in Kentucky has the finest sour cream donut I've ever had. Kentucky has incredible donuts.
People were asking on the internet about your life in Kentucky. Do you want to say why you lived in Kentucky?
Yes, we're also at minute 31, and I want to make sure because we've got another 74 shows to go. So do I just put life in Kentucky on my thing?
Yeah. And then keep telling me about the donut. Yeah.
I think I've talked enough about the donut other than to say maple glazed, great baseline donut. Sour cream, great. I'm curious what people's baseline donut is that judges a place. So that's and I'd love to know
that's
best
a great
one.
Question.
Yeah. I would love to know. So I have not been to this local donut shop because right now it's the best donut in Gainesville and people seem to really like it. I also know that I have massively high standards because I've had the opportunity to travel and have amazing donuts. Mighty O's Donuts in Seattle? Forget it. You can't. Mm-hmm. You cannot. That is a good donut. The Fox's Den in Nashville. You cannot find a better donut than that.
Yep.
Oh, North Lime in Lexington? Cannot. If that donut will stop your whole life. Why would I possibly eat a Halo donut if it's not as good?
Yeah, but how are you going to know?
I'm going to have to be a big brave boy and go get myself a sour cream donut and see if I like it. But right now, I just
feel like
that
might
brave.
be at some point before we finish these shows, I would like you to do that. But also, you can handle your health and your eating however you want to. Whether a sour cream donut is right for you right now in the middle of a quarantine, I don't know.
It has to be, because if it's not, then I'm trying really hard to care about my health. But part of that is it pleases me to have a donut on a Saturday.
Yes.
So got to figure out a way to make, Sunday through Monday, not a place where I also can say the same statement. I enjoy having a donut on Tuesday. I really enjoy having a donut on Wednesday.
I don't know if you and I have ever talked about the time that my friends and I thought it would be wise to do a donut eating contest. And it is. You just always think you can eat more than you can eat. You always think, with as much as I love these, I bet I could fill in the blank. And you can't fill in the blank. You can't. You can't do what you think you can do.
Yeah. Or you can and you don't want to know that. But either way, why are we doing all we can to eat all we can? That's my problem. I've never done an eating contest, and I feel very confident that that the switch in me never goes off because I've never felt
it. That's the problem. That's why you need to do one, because I thought the same thing, and then I did one, and I was like, oh, I actually do have a limit. I thought I was limitless in my hot donuts from Krispy Kreme intake, and I am very limitful.
Ooh, I don't want to talk about Krispy Kreme either.
You hate them?
I don't hate them, but I don't get it. They're fine.
Even the hot ones you don't get?
Yeah, they're fine. But
I mean, it's just a dessert.
It's just a dessert, but people talk about these donuts as if they are the be-all, end-all of donut. Mm-hmm. And I always just want to ask people, I see that this is a good donut. Have you never been to Donut King in Orlando and gotten the same exact donut from there? And if you ate them side by side, objectively, this is a better donut.
This is a better donut. Sure.
If you North Lime in Lexington will serve you the same looking donut eat them both. That is a better donut. I just don't understand, but I appreciate the hot and ready. I appreciate the whole mystique. They have great branding. They're a nice company, it seems. I get it. But I'm always shocked when people say that's their favorite donut.
Sure. No, I don't. I would agree with you. I would not say it's my favorite donut. I'd say when me and two male college athletes decided. Here in Nashville, two of my Vandy boys, we decided that we really wanted to eat, that there was a contest to be had, I thought, I can do this, and I could not do it.
We have really peered into your private life today, haven't we, Annie F. Mounds?
Everybody knows about my Vandy boys. I love those kids. That's not a secret.
Oh, I'm just trying to make it uncomfortable for you because I know how uncomfortable you are.
Really doing it. You can't imagine how much I want to delete the first 16 minutes of the show. I'm not going to do it. We're just going to let it go. Let's talk about heroes, Eddie.
Yeah.
You want to start?
I do. I have a real one. I'm sorry to turn the corner so sharply, though. Donut talk is very close to my heart. But I heard about yesterday, and I think it's been around for a couple weeks, but I'm just missing it. There was this Asian American Christian collective of just prominent Asian American leaders, church leaders, academics, designers, just who got together that wrote one of these statements. And we've seen these statements pop up over the past few years when kind of a group of people feels as though it is time for them to say something collectively. And some of them have been unifying. Some of them have been polarizing. Some of them have been unifying and they're polarizing. But this statement, it's a statement on anti-racism in the time of COVID-19. And they wrote this statement, and it really just, the basis of it is, it says, in the last 2 weeks of March of 2020, Asian Americans have reported nearly 1,000 incidents of racism. And without mitigation, we expect the number to rise in the weeks ahead. And so it's really coming from, and I really would encourage people, I'll tweet out a link to it, but to read the entirety of it, but kind of a part of the base of this is the idea that this COVID-19 is from China. And some people have even called it the Chinese flu. And so they wrote this really impassioned, beautiful statement on we need to change the rhetoric of this broadly because this is actually damaging for actual people. And I heard about this from a friend who is deeply affected by it, is Asian American, and also just he's the best person. I mean, he's honestly, I think in terms of character of a human, he may be the best person I've ever met. And I love him just deeply. And we work together and he doesn't feel safe going for a run. And he's not crazy. He doesn't feel safe, and rightly so. And I just, it broke my heart. And so I guess the long story short, and I don't want to use this as my pulpit, but the people that wrote it are heroic for doing that because it is scary. For me, it would be scary. Then again, I sit in a place of privilege all the time, but to put yourself out there, and to all of the people on social, both Asian Americans and people who are not, who have been supporters of this, who have signed it. I think it's very heroic to stand up and say, we got to do better. So, and we can use our voice. So I'm using my voice, and I encourage others to do it the same. So that's it. That was my hero for yesterday. One of the weird offshoots of all of this is that anti-Asian racism, which I think we can't have. So that's my hero. Thanks, AFD.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was on the phone yesterday with a friend of mine, and we are both former elementary school teachers, and we were talking about the complexity of schools. Like the state of Georgia said, no one's going back to school this year.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the governor said that. And you just think, man, there are so many kids who are in bad situations, and the teachers know, and the teachers have to figure out, Like it's not even about educating them. It's how do you go to sleep at night knowing that some of the kids you were concerned about all year, you don't see again.
Yeah.
And so teachers today are the people I can't quit thinking about. Of course, the children and the situations and the, all that too. But we only do one hero day. And today my hero are the teachers who are losing sleep over the safety of their students that they may not see again this school year.
Safety of the students is key in that too. It's one thing, they're losing sleep over educating the students who all have iPads and are ready to go and are doing this brave new world. But there are students and kids that are just fading into the distance, that it's very hard to know how to, as a teacher, how to love them. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That is very heroic.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. That's it. You said it. It's one thing to educate them. It's another thing to worry about their well-being and be unable to help.
Yes.
But they aren't totally unable to help. There's social workers are still being heroic and doing their jobs. There is, you know, drive-bys. Their teachers are doing drive-bys constantly. I'm seeing videos of that with my friends' kids. And so,
yeah.
But, and we get to partner this week with IJM to bring an extra hero. And you, Eddie, I know you know this one, but IJM is fighting to end slavery around the world. And as you've heard, we've been telling beautiful stories of rescue and restoration this week and last week. And today's hero is a kid named Luke.
Oh, love Luke. Luke.
I know. So Luke has a condition that's left him immunocompromised. And in 2017, he got to do a Make-A-Wish trip to Legoland and Disney World, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
And his grandpa gave him $20 to spend on a souvenir, but he decided not to. They wanted to spend it on something bigger, is what he said.
Yeah.
And later that year, when Luke and his family were at church, he learned that there are people in slavery. And when he came home from church, he told his mom, "I want to give my money to those slavery people because I don't want them to be called slavery people.
I know.
I want them to be called by their names," which I think is so sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just so much complexity to y'all doing this work and ending violence and slavery. But Luke gets it, you know, like people shouldn't be slaves. They should be free. Oh, they should be called by their names, right?
Totally. And so, the simplicity of, not the simplicity, but the way a kid is able to boil down. We got to be looking to our kids because they are, they've got a lot of perspective on this, on big things. And Luke had a ton of perspective that I love. I love this story of Luke because
what a hero.
I love him.
So you can join Luke in the work to end slavery by giving $24 or more each month as a freedom partner with IJM, and the consistent gifts make it possible for IJM to show up for children and families in slavery around the world. So to become a freedom partner, you go to IJM.org/beahero and enter your information. It's quick and simple. It'll help a countless number of people around the world. So IJM.org/beahero.
Man, that makes me happy. Well, we covered a lot of ground today. Kind of a long show, but we had...
Kind of a long show. It's going to be real easy to cut the first 16 minutes. No, we'll still have a 30-minute show.
Everybody gets to hear it. If they're going to hear about my sour cream donut, they're going to hear about your Siri thing.
Sure.
Your gentleman caller.
Yikes.
That'll do it. I'm good.
That'll do. Okay, everybody. Go wash your hands. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Bye, buddy.